Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Stop being anxious and watchful, for I am your God. I give you strength. I bring you help. I uphold you with my victorious right hand. The eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who rely on his love to rescue their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. It is by faith and through Jesus that we have entered this state of grace, in which we can boast about looking forward to God's glory. But that is not all we can boast about. We can boast about our sufferings. These sufferings bring patience, as we know, and patience brings perseverance, and perseverance brings hope. And this hope is not deceptive, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given us. May the God of hope bring you such joy and peace in your faith that the power of the Holy Spirit will remove all bounds to hope.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, what a privilege that you have given to us, that we may kneel here together, lift our hearts up to you in praise and thanksgiving, and to glorify your name. We request that you send your Holy Spirit to be to Hope as she speaks, be near to her. May the words be from you. We pray also that you will anoint our ears, that we will hear the message which you have given to her to give to us. Bless each one that is here. Bless our guests which are with us, and their families. You know the sickness which is in your church family. We pray that you'll be near to each one that could not be here because of the illness. And there are those who have loved ones which are on terminal ill situations. Be very close to them. May they realize that there is a resurrection, that there is a time when we'll be united together again as a family. Guide us as we continue to pray, as we silently bring our own individual petitions to you at this time. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, and thank you also for teaching us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning, boys and girls. You want to have a seat here? Good morning. You can hold that. One of my favorite things to do is to take a walk outdoors. Do you like to walk? One of the things I do when I'm walking is to look at rocks. I love rocks. You like rocks? You can pick up a rock and find one just perfect to throw, or you can find rocks that feel just right in your hands. I brought some rocks this morning. To get rocks this size, great big rocks broke off and chipped. And when rocks chip off of big rocks, you find rocks like this. I'll start them over here. You can touch it and then pass it on down the row. And when you get the rock at the end, you put it in a little pile right here for me, okay? Well, I found these rocks, and they're normal, ordinary rocks. And sometimes the rocks, here, you can pass out some other ones, get sharp, and they have sharp points on them. And when you take off your shoes and socks for the first time in the spring, it hurts your feet to step on them, doesn't it? Well, sometimes rocks are gooey and muddy, and sometimes they're not very pretty. And sometimes you don't want to pick them up because they're muddy and they're sharp. You know, sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes people can be sharp, and you just don't want to be very close to them. Well, One time I was walking, and I have another little bag here of some special rocks that I like. One time I was taking a walk by the river, and I found a rock. Look at this one. It's different than those I passed down. It's smooth. It's perfectly round and smooth, and I love it. And I keep it in my coat pocket because when I wear my coat, I like to put my hands in there and feel that nice, smooth rock. And I found another one just about like it, only instead of being perfectly round, it's oval. But it has all of its sharp points rubbed off of it. How did it get smooth? How, Hannah? Well, actually, the water did it. It was right on the edge of the water, and when the water wave came, it rubbed on the sand, and it washed back and forth. And before too many years went by, I don't know how many years that takes, the sand and the other things it rubbed on rubbed off all its sharp points and rubbed off the dirt and made it very nice to touch. And I love that rock. In fact, I have one of my very special ones I brought today. It is a rock that got rubbed that same way. And it's brown. And it's about a little smaller than a dime. And it's almost as flat as a dime. And it's perfectly smooth. Look at that. Isn't that cute? I just love that little one. So flat. And here, instead of black, it's a brown one, flat and smooth, just like that. So when that comes down the line, you'll see that little tiny flat and smooth rock. I really like it. So instead of sharp and jaggedy like this one, sometimes our sharp points are very sharp. Feel how sharp that is. Isn't that sharp? If you stepped on that, it could cut your toe, couldn't it? Yeah. You had a rock cut your toe? Well, sometimes people hurt people like that. They don't mean to, but they're so natural. They just, in our natural state, sometimes we can cut people when we don't mean to do it. Just like rocks. That rock doesn't mean to cut your toe. You just step on it, and boy, blood everywhere, right?
Yeah, unless you have
shoes on. Unless you have shoes on. That's right. That's why it's important to put shoes and socks on. Right. Well, somebody looked at one of those smooth stones, and they said, oh, I wonder what would happen if we made that process a little more intense. So you know what they discovered? They made a tumbler for rocks. What do you suppose that is? Oh, you're so smart. That's exactly right. They made a tumbler. And what happens is you put a whole bunch of rocks in a round drum and you turn it. Sometimes they have electric ones that just plug it into the wall and it turns round and round. And what happens to those rocks? Hannah says they get clean. Yes, they put water with it, and then they drain the water out and put more water in. And what else happens? That's right. With each other, all banging together, right? Those rocks. Well, I have a little velvet bag here. And in this, they put the rocks in there, and they tumble them, and they bang against each other, and they work hard. How do you think those rocks like being in the tumbler? Do they love it? Do you think it feels great? No, you don't think so? You suppose it kind of hurts sometimes? Well, you know, Jesus takes us rough and sharp and dirty, and he lets things happen to us sometimes. What do you suppose that is like that polishes us? Well, sometimes we're allowed to have car accidents. We learn a lot from those car accidents, don't we? Sometimes we get sick. Don't you learn something from being sick? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes our parents spank us. Have you ever had your parents spank you? Ooh, does that feel great? No. No. That kind of hurts, but that's like our polishing. And then sometimes our parents say, good night, Becky, and they close off the door and leave us all alone. Ooh, and I sit there in my bed and I'm kind of scared. Have you ever been scared of the dark, being left alone? When you were little? Yeah, but you know what? When we're left alone, we learn that we can be alone. And that's important. And we learn to be strong and grow up. So that's our polishing process. Now I think you're ready to see what happens when those rocks come out of that polisher. What do they look like? Are you ready? I'm going to pour. Oh, are they sharp?
No.
Are they ugly? Oh, they look like jewels, don't they? They look so beautiful. They're shiny. Do they look like these rocks over here? Here, look at the difference now. Which rocks look the best? Oh, which one have more value? That's right. Which rocks would you like? The polished ones. Which ones would you like to put in your pocket? These rough, dirty ones or these? Oh, that's right. And there's purple and green. The colors come out. Aren't they gorgeous? Well, you know what? If you could be a rock like this or a polished rock, which one would you like to be?
Polished.
Yeah. Jesus is in the business of polishing us today. Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. You want to have a seat here? Good morning. You can hold that. One of my favorite things to do is to take a walk outdoors. Do you like to walk? One of the things I do when I'm walking is to look at rocks. I love rocks. You like rocks? You can pick up a rock and find one just perfect to throw, or you can find rocks that feel just right in your hands. I brought some rocks this morning. To get rocks this size, great big rocks broke off and chipped. And when rocks chip off of big rocks, you find rocks like this. I'll start them over here. You can touch it and then pass it on down the row. And when you get the rock at the end, you put it in a little pile right here for me, okay? Well, I found these rocks, and they're normal, ordinary rocks. And sometimes the rocks, here, you can pass out some other ones, get sharp. And they have sharp points on them. And when you take off your shoes and socks for the first time in the spring, it hurts your feet to step on them, doesn't it? Well, sometimes rocks are gooey and muddy, and sometimes they're not very pretty. And sometimes you don't want to pick them up because they're muddy and they're sharp. You know, sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes people can be sharp, and you just don't want to be very close to them. Well, one time I was walking, and I have another little bag here of some special rocks that I like. One time I was taking a walk by the river, and I found a rock. Look at this one. It's different than those I passed down. It's smooth. It's perfectly round and smooth, and I love it. And I keep it in my coat pocket because when I wear my coat, I like to put my hands in there and feel that nice, smooth rock. And I found another one just about like it, only instead of being perfectly round, it's oval, but it has all of its sharp points rubbed off of it. How did it get smooth?
I know.
How, Hannah? Well, actually, the water did it. It was right on the edge of the water, and when the water wave came, it rubbed on the sand, and it washed back and forth. And before too many years went by, I don't know how many years that takes, the sand and the other things it rubbed on rubbed off all its sharp points and rubbed off the dirt and made it very nice to touch. And I love that rock. In fact, I have one of my very special ones I brought today. It is a rock that got rubbed that same way. And it's brown. And it's about a little smaller than a dime. And it's almost as flat as a dime. And it's perfectly smooth. Look at that. Isn't that cute? I just love that little one. So flat. And here, instead of black, it's a brown one, flat and smooth, just like that. So when that comes down the line, you'll see that little tiny flat and smooth rock. I really like it. So instead of sharp and jaggedy like this one, Sometimes our sharp points are very sharp. Feel how sharp that is. Isn't that sharp? If you stepped on that, it could cut your toe, couldn't it? Yeah. You had a rock cut your toe? Well, sometimes people hurt people like that. They don't mean to, but they're so natural. They just, in our natural state, sometimes we can cut people when we don't mean to do it. Just like rocks. That rock doesn't mean to cut your toe. You just step on it, and boy, blood everywhere, right? Unless you have shoes on. That's right. That's why it's important to put shoes and socks on. Right. Well, somebody looked at one of those smooth stones and they said, oh, I wonder what would happen if we made that process a little more intense. So you know what they discovered? They made a tumbler for rocks. What do you suppose that is? Oh, you're so smart. That's exactly right. They made a tumbler. And what happens is you put a whole bunch of rocks in a round drum and you turn it. Sometimes they have electric ones that just plug it into the wall and it turns round and round. And what happens to those rocks? Hannah says they get clean. Yes, they put water with it and then they drain the water out and put more water in. And what else happens? That's right. With each other, all banging together, right? Those rocks, well, I have a little velvet bag here. And in this, they put the rocks in there and they tumble them and they bang against each other and they work hard. How do you think those rocks like being in the tumbler? Do they love it? Do you think it feels great? No, you don't think so? You suppose it kind of hurts sometimes? Well, you know, Jesus takes us rough and sharp and dirty and he lets things happen to us sometimes. What do you suppose that is like that polishes us? Well, sometimes we're allowed to have car accidents. We learn a lot from those car accidents, don't we? Sometimes we get sick. Don't you learn something from being sick?
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes our parents spank us. Have you ever had your parents spank you?
Yeah.
Ooh, does that feel great? No. No. That kind of hurts, but that's like our polishing. And then sometimes our parents say, good night, Becky, and they close off the door and leave us all alone. Ooh, and I sit there in my bed and I'm kind of scared. Have you ever been scared of the dark, being left alone? When you were little? Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? When we're left alone, we learn that we can be alone. And that's important. And we learn to be strong and grow up. So that's our polishing process. Now I think you're ready to see what happens when those rocks come out of that polisher. What do they look like? Are you ready? I'm going to pour. Oh, are they sharp?
No.
Are they ugly?
No, I've seen them before.
Oh, they look like jewels, don't they? They look so beautiful. They're shiny. Do they look like these rocks over here? Here, look at the difference now. Which rocks look the best? Oh, which one have more value? That's right. Which rocks would you like? The polished ones. Which ones would you like to put in your pocket? These rough, dirty ones? Or these? Oh, that's right. And there's purple and green. The colors come out. Aren't they gorgeous? Well, you know what? If you could be a rock like this or a polished rock, which one would you like to be? Yeah. Jesus is in the business of polishing us today. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's scripture will be Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Happy Sabbath. You can tell I'm a little nervous today. I ask that you pray for me as I speak this morning. This morning I'm going to talk about God's silence. And what happens to us when God is silent? Shall we pray? Father, it's me, Hope, standing in the need of prayer. I ask you to be with me now as I speak, because I know, Lord, that it's you who's speaking. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have prayed for something and felt that God did not answer or did not hear your prayers? That he did not hear your cries? I'm sure each one of you have experienced that. You see, when God is silent, we tend to think that he doesn't care. Or we think that there's something that we did that's keeping him from answering our prayers. You see, the devil wants us to think that way and feel that way about God. Because by focusing on us and focusing about what God hasn't done for us, we miss the mark. Because it's not about us, but about God. When God is silent, we begin to forget what he has done for us. You know, my husband always says, when I'm feeling so low, he always says it's time to count your blessings. It is hard to count your blessings when you're feeling low. But I'm learning to count my blessings, because it's not about me, it's about God. Let's look again at Psalm 27:14, which reads, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, a few months ago, my husband spoke about waiting and how hard it is for us to wait. You see, King David knew from experience how it felt to wait on the Lord. He had been anointed to be king since he was 16, but he never became the king until he was 30. During his time of waiting, he was chased through the desert by King Saul. Even after becoming the king, he was chased by his rebellious son, Absalom. You see, waiting on God is not easy, because we are a generation that is used to instant gratification. We want things fast, and we want them now. This is the computer and all kinds of gadgets generation, and we do not like to wait. I mean, look at the people in the grocery store. Especially when waiting behind somebody who has a cart full of groceries, or someone counting their pennies. Either they want to get rid of the pennies, or that's all they have. We'll shift from one leg to the other. We'll do anything to let them know just how much they are wasting our valuable time. You know, we'll cling our keys and just about do anything, roll our eyes and just make the person so uncomfortable, just because we want them to get the message. You are wasting our time. We don't know how to wait. But most of all, we don't even know what to do while we are waiting. You know, we react in the same manner when God does not answer our prayers within our time limit, which is usually right now and then. We tell him what we want, and we give him a time limit. God, you know, I want that job and I want it by next week. You know, I just have to go, you know, to that seminar and I don't have the funds, but I need to go and the seminar is on the 22nd. So you better answer my question before the 22nd. I need you to answer my prayers before the 23rd because my son needs to go to school by the 29th. We always give him a time limit. We forget that he works in his own time. We lose focus because we make it about us and not about him. We try and give him our rationale that, you know, God, I really need, I need you to answer my prayer within the spirit of time. You know, you don't understand the agency of my situation. If I don't get this done within the spirit of time, things are not going to be the same. But he's asking us to wait on him. To wait on him, and sometimes we may have to wait until we get to heaven. God is worth waiting for. Lamentations 3:24-26. Cause us to hope and wait for the Lord, because oftentimes God uses his silence to refresh us, to renew us, to teach us about his plan for us, which is to live in his presence. So, brethren, this morning, make good use of your waiting time by discovering what God may be trying to teach you. You see, David waited on the Lord, and in return, he received four important things. God lifted him out of his despair. That's one. Second, he set his feet on the rock. And third, he gave him a firm place to stand. Fourth, he put a new song of praise in his mouth. That's Psalm 41:3. You see, it's hard to praise the Lord when you're going through suffering, when you go through disappointment. I've been there. I know most of you have. It's hard to sing a new song unto God when your heart is hurting. But he says, wait. Because in his time, he makes all things beautiful. And we're able to stand and praise him again. We're able to sing our song unto him again. Because it's all about him. David again urges us to trust in the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Psalm 37:7. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. A couple of years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And we were all worried about her. You know, we'd call her and we would send her flowers and ask how she was doing. She went through surgery. And we wondered how she was going to do when she came back to work. The day she came back to work, I sat down with her. I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing fine. I'm still going through radiation. But you know what, Hope? I have left it all to God. I know he might not answer my prayer in this lifetime, but that's okay. Because, you know, I'll just wait on him. I'll lay down this body of clay and exchange it someday for glory. It's a win-win situation. She didn't know how much she touched me that day. Because, you see, many times When God does not answer our prayers, we get so discouraged and we wonder why. What did I do, oh God? A few weeks ago, before I received the message about my brother's death, I was talking with Dorothy Dalton. You know, she came to me and asked me, so how are things going with you? You know, how's life? You know, how is school? And I started explaining things to her, and I told her about how much we had prayed with my husband about this year, especially this semester. We had so much going on in my school, in our kids' school. We prayed and trusted that God will lead us. One of the things we had prayed for was good health, because I have to commute to East Lansing and leave Matthew with our neighbor. And we worried so much about him. We prayed that God will bless him with good health and bless each one of us, so I don't have to stay home and take care of them, that I'll be able to finish through this semester. I told her, I said, we have left it up to God. You know, we were sitting down after my brother's death, and Mwemba says, you know, this year hasn't started well, but we prayed to God. And the things that we specifically asked him to help us with are the things that have not turned out right. But it's okay. It's okay. He knows best. You see, a month after I started commuting to East Lansing, I fell on ice and tore my ligament in my right knee. Life has not been the same the last 6 weeks. It is one thing we had prayed to God about, to help us get through this semester. He did not answer us in the way we wanted him to. Does it mean he doesn't care? He does care. And maybe he answered our prayer, but just not in the way we expected him to. Many times we don't stop to think about what is going on in our lives. You know, I kept joking around when people would say, so how are you doing with your knee? And I would say, you know, I think I was doing too many things and running all the time. Maybe the Lord was trying to stop me. He was trying to tell me to slow down. You see, I thank God for my husband, I have to be honest. Many times I look at the dark side of things. But I'm beginning to learn to count my blessings and to let him have his way. The things that I do not understand, I wait for him to give me an understanding in his own time. I've come to realize that no matter what I do in my life, it's not about who I am. It's about who he is. He is God and is in charge of my life. You see, what does it mean for us to trust God? Let's look at Abraham and Sarah. Who could believe that Abraham, at 100 years of age, could have a child? But doing the impossible every day is everyday business for God. Our big problems won't seem so impossible if we let God handle them. God had taken more than too long a time to answer Sarah's request. She was old. She had given up hope. She had put a period where God had put a comma. Even after repeated promises, a visit by two angels, and the appearance of God himself, she still had doubt and worried, and in turn, she missed the blessing of the peace that she could have felt in God's wonderful promise for her. The way to bring peace to a troubled heart is to focus on God's promises. He promised He will never leave us. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Look at what waiting did for Abraham. Abraham grew in faith. That's what happened to him when God was silent. He trusted God so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only son. The son he had waited for 100 years. He did not question him when he asked him to sacrifice his son, because he had grown in faith. He had grown to trust God that no matter what, he would not leave his side. He was promised blessings beyond human measure because he obeyed God. You see, throughout the years that Abraham had waited for God, his character was being changed. It was being shaped for better things yet to come. He was ready. He had seen it all. He trusted in God. Let's look at the woman who had the bleeding issue for 12 years. What happened to her when God was silent for 12 years? Her faith grew in God. She had so much faith that when she heard Christ was going to pass where she was sitting, she had so much faith that she realized, if I could only touch His garment. He didn't have to speak to her. He didn't have to touch her. She had grown to have so much faith, knowing that if I can only touch His garment, I'll be healed. She waited in God's silence. She grew in God's silence. She was ready for better and bigger things. The pinnacle of today's message is what happened the night Jesus was betrayed. If you look in Mark 14:43, we are told what transpired while Jesus was waiting for the hour. You see, he had gone out 3 times to ask God to pass the cup over him. He knew fully what his destination was. But he was human enough to ask God to pass the cup over him. He prayed 3 times while the disciples were sleeping. He would walk away from them, go a little distance, and pray. Please, pass this cup over me. But God was silent. Look at what he said in Mark 14:36. He says, take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Is that what we say when God doesn't answer our prayers? Is that what we say when we have been praying for that wayward child who hasn't come home yet for 24 years or whatever many years? Is that what we say to God? That let your will be done. Is that what we say when we get hurt, when we get disappointed by those people who are close to us? Is that what we say when we don't get that job we have been praying for many years? Do we say, let your will be done? Is that what we say when we have been taking care of our loved ones for many years. And they are put to rest. Do we say, let your will be done? Or do we blame God for not answering our prayers in our time? Christ waited. He was the Son of God. He waited. So who am I that I must question God when he doesn't answer my prayers? Listen to him crying out to God on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is powerful. This is God's own son crying out to him, feeling that loneliness on that cross. Feeling abandoned by his own father. But you know what? It was in this very moment, in his silence, that God was working, preparing his son for things yet to come. He wanted him beside him at the throne of mercy. God in his silence, he was telling him, my people need a redeemer. If I don't go through this, they'll be lost forever. You and I would not stand a chance. We will not stand a chance of going to heaven, of having an everlasting life. He had to be silent. He had to be silent, or we would not stand a chance. That is powerful for me. It is really powerful because we would not stand a chance to see the people who have gone before us. We will not stand a chance to say, it is okay. It is okay. There's a better place coming. When we cannot hear God, we can trust him that he's still working out our issues. He is quite aware of our situation. He is in charge of our lives. He created us. He knows what the future holds. We can trust him and let him work in us in his own time. You see, what stops us from trusting God is that feeling that, you know, I can do it as a human being. If you can't answer my prayer, I'll find an alternative way of doing these things. But the moment we realize that we are not able, we'll never be able, we submit ourselves to God fully, he begins to work. When we are suffering, when we are going through our own trials, I don't know what you're going through today, this morning, but I'm praying that you give God a chance to work in your life in his own time. He may not answer your prayers today. He may not answer them tomorrow. He may not answer them in this lifetime. But he will, in his own time. He will make all things beautiful. We need to lean on God and trust that he will take care of us. I want to read Psalm 23. Psalm of David, that was my mother's favorite scripture in the Bible. I'll read it differently. You see, a month after I lost my mother, a friend of friend of mine sent me Psalm 23, and she said, you have never looked at Psalm 23 in this way. I want to share that with you. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now that's relationship. I shall not want. That is supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul, and that's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That is guidance. For his name's sake, now that's purpose. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I'll fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now those are blessings. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's security. That's eternity. I pray this morning that as you leave this place, you begin to look at your situation, whatever you're going through in your life today, in a different way. And trusting that there is a better place coming. Because this too shall pass. There is an everlasting place coming. No matter what you're carrying in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, I don't know what it is. But I'm urging you to trust God and let him take care of whatever need you may have today. Whatever is troubling, talk to him like your father. He may not answer you today, but wait on him. I don't know how long it has been since you heard from God, but I'm encouraging you to keep listening and keep waiting on the Lord and be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. Please stand and join me in singing hymn 530. It is well with my soul.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.